Hey, I want to welcome everyone watching online right now. It's so great to have you. Also want to welcome for the very first time a live congregation here at our online location. See, that's good excitement. And would you believe it's been 6 months since I last spoke to a group of people. And I'm really nervous for some reason. I've been nervous all day. I'm so used to speaking to a camera now. I got to relearn how to speak to people and to faces. But I just want to take a moment to thank everyone for making this possible every single week. Come on, let's just give a clap. Give some love for the guys that are behind the cameras who are making this happen every single week through filming and producing and editing and all of the different things, especially to Blake and to Brian. Thank you so much, guys. And I just really am so proud of what has happened through our online. It feels like we've gone from strength to strength every single week. It's been creative. It's been innovative. And I'm looking forward to our roundtable podcast tonight at 8 p.m. Yes. It's going to be really cool as we look at there's healing for a hurried life during our 8 p.m. service. So make sure you're there to tune in and to watch it. We also want to welcome everyone who is watching physically in our Kildare location. We got to, because of the lockdown was lifted during the week, we got to invite some of our teams to come in for two services and to really watch the service together. So we want to say we're so grateful for you guys. Thank you for joining with us and for being with us. And so we are delighted to finally announce, after 6 months of an emotional roller coaster, that we're finally prepared and allowed to fully reopen our building here in Newbridge of County Kildare. So next Sunday the 13th of September, we're not going to have one service, nor two services, but five services. You're clapping now, but wait until after the fifth one. We're going to have five services. We're going to have 10:30, 12:30, 2:30, 4:30, and 6:30. You can come to one, three, or all five of the services. But we really want to do it because we know that the space is limited. So we said, well, let's add more services so we can allow more people to come. So whether it's you and your family to come along, there's plenty of space. So the purpose really is to experience corporate worship together again and to begin to engage in community again. So I can't wait for next Sunday. I can't wait to see you. We can't wait to welcome you. And so we're asking everyone to book a seat through our website. We have a link there on our website, openarms.ie. And so that we would make sure that you have a space. And so you can choose any of the services. And on our website also, you'll be able to find out all of the procedures that we have for our sanitizing stations, also social distancing and the use of masks as well, so that you know what to expect. And we'll also have a video up online during the week to show you what it's going to look like throughout the services. At the moment, there is no kids' church, but we are saying, you families, if you have a child or a young one that you feel is old enough to be able to sit through the service alongside you, we want you to feel free to do that. And that's why we have got five services. We do have plenty of space. So we're really looking forward to having you next Sunday, 13th September, five services. So whether you're watching online, whether you're here with me, or whether you're watching in Kildare, please help me today. Say amen. Good word. You know, praise hands emojis, whatever it is. And as we join together to hear the word of God. So I really feel expectant today. This word has just been simmering in me for 2 months. And, you know, many of you know, in the month of July, we had our youngest son, Isaac. He had his heart surgery. So afterwards, we decided to take a few weeks and recover. And we had some of our team speak. We had J.O.R. and Darren and Matt and Candy, who were here. And they were fantastic. It was so great to have them. We love all of you guys. And then during the month of August, we had some of our friends and pastors from around the world speak to us every single week. And it was so encouraging. It was so great to have someone to speak into our church. And I felt full every week. And the reason why we did that also is because we as a staff and as a team have been using this season and this time to restructure our organization and to position ourselves and strengthen ourselves for this new season. Not just for the reopening, but to ensure that we are healthy organizationally emotionally, spiritually, financially, so that we're set up for this next season. Why? Because I believe that we're going to see growth. We're going to see more people come to Jesus, come to faith, join our church. So we want to be ready. We believe that there's going to be a move of God happen, not just here in Ireland, but throughout the world. And we believe and know that Open Arms will be ready for it. So I just want to really encourage you today as we're jumping into this, that we are stronger as a church than ever before. This week, we also announced that we are hiring and looking for a new associate pastor in our Kildare location. So if you are someone or know of someone that has a heart for full-time ministry, has a gift of leadership on their life, you can go to openarms.ie, and on that you'll find our job opportunities. We love you to go for it, to see if God is calling you towards that. But we're excited for what's going to happen in this next season. So today, we're starting a new series. And a few months ago, in prayer and preparation, I was really asking God, looking forward to September, you know, what do you want me to speak on? Because I really felt that there's still uncertainty, great uncertainty, even after 6 months. There's still great worry and anxiety. People are unsure what's going to happen, what's going to happen next. And I really felt clearly in my heart, God say, share good news. Share good news. You know, our TV, our phones, our radio, our social media has been filled with constant bad news. It feels like every day there's something happening. There's something going on. It feels like disaster all around us. It's news that can be upsetting. It can be frustrating. It can be disappointing. It can even make us feel depressed at times. And I believe that God says, I have good news. Turn to my word. I have good news. And he directed my attention to Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, which we're going to dive into right now. So if you have your Bibles, open up there. Go with me there. Of course, the scriptures are going to be on the screen. And we see that Colossians, the writer of these words that we're about to read, is Paul. Many know him as St. Paul or Apostle Paul, who wrote over half of the New Testament. And he's writing to the church in Colossia. I hope I got that right. Colossia. And he says in verse 3, he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard is the true message of the gospel that has come to you. So the original Greek word of the word gospel that Paul uses here is actually euangelion. And it literally is translated as good news. So Paul is saying here that because of the good news that you have heard, it has brought you faith, hope, and love into your life. The New Living Translation says it like this. It says, you have had this expectation, this confident hope, ever since you first heard of the truth of the good news. So what Paul is saying here, when we hear the good news, it produces within us an expectation, a confident hope that God has the ability to do anything in and through our lives. It is a confidence beyond circumstance. It is a Christ confidence. No matter if it's a coronavirus or the loss of our job or income or the reality of the worst case scenario that we mull over our heads day after day, all the time, over and over again in our minds, the good news gives us a hope that is confident and that builds up our faith and our love for Jesus and for people. And Paul continues. He says, in the same way, the gospel, the good news, is bearing fruit and growing throughout the world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Verse 7, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. So the title of our series today is Good News. there is good news. There is good news found in the gospel of Jesus Christ that produces faith, hope, and love, that produces a confident hope, not just for our today, not just for our tomorrow, but for our future generations to come. That no matter how bad things are, no matter how bad the news is, there is always good news found in God's word that is alive in us today. Now, I don't know about you guys. I found and feel that the world today is full of so much mistruth, conspiracy theories, and fake news. It's absolutely crazy. And, you know, I've spent many hours wasting on news sites, reading articles, listening and watching podcasts, and going down rabbit holes in my head of all multiple scenarios of what can happen, what did happen, who made it happen, what's going to happen. Anyone else? Yeah. Is that just me? And I recently found out and discovered that the fastest growing conspiracy theory in the world right now is not that aliens live among us, which is also one, but also that the earth is flat. There is flat earth believers. It is crazy. There's literally a movement of people who are so passionate, who truly believe, they are confident in, that the earth is flat, and for some reason the government or the authorities has hidden this fact from us. And every day, if you open social media, if you turn on your TV, if you listen to the radio, if you go online, you will see and hear so much news, so much information. You know, this day and age has been labeled the information age. But here's the thing. We've come to a place where we can no longer trust or believe in the information that we're receiving. What's happened is that the misinformation has collapsed the trust within our society when it comes to believing the information that is communicated. So much so that people believe that the earth is flat. And the question is, how did this happen? How did we get here? How do we get to this place? Well, unfortunately, the news, the newspapers, news agencies, and news channels are all have an ulterior motive and a subjective bias where the view is to pursue attention rather than truth. Yeah. The media has a leftist ideology that tries to shape and shift our moral and ethical values to begin to change them. We see today our opinion or our truth can no longer be debated or questioned, or we agree to disagree, but it's almost forced upon us, even in some cases through court, where facts, science, and biology is no longer relevant, but it's replaced by feelings. It can often seem that our conversations center around how crazy the world is. I don't know if you've had these conversations. It feels like we keep saying, you know, we live in such strange times where I don't think strange even surprises us anymore. We're not surprised by strange because we've come so used to it. And the leaders that we believe and hope that will stand up for us and speak out have been ousted or cancelled because what they say, believe, and do. And the question remains then, well, who can we trust? Who can we turn to? What can we believe? What is truth? What is true information? And as your pastor and as your leader, I need to stress to you that I am not the answer, nor is the answer found in what I say. But the answer is found in Jesus. Yes. And the answer is found when we turn to his word, when we read his word, we get into the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is where truth is found, in the person of Jesus and his good news. So that's what we're going to do together. For these next few months, we're going to study and read and learn the good news that is found in the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians is a short book. It's only got four chapters, but it's filled with such hope and truth that will provide strength and sustenance for our spirit and for our souls. So here's the first sermon in our Good News series is that the gospel is alive. Yeah. That's the truth that we can believe. The good news, the gospel is alive. Yeah. Irrespective of what popular opinion may say or believe through our postmodern, post-Christian society, The gospel of Jesus Christ is not dead, nor is it dying, but it is very much alive. Not only that, but the church is alive. Our church buildings may have been closed, but the church is very much alive and kicking. It is full and growing and more alive today than ever before. And more people are being added to it daily. We're on the precipice of an explosion of exponential growth in our land and around the world, where we are seeing that the gospel and the church are alive. You know, I really believe that there is a community of people, of believers, that are rising up, that are becoming awakened to the truth that is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and a community that is flourishing and that is growing because we're founded in the depths of the good news of the gospel of Jesus. So the gospel is alive. And through the gospel, we can experience the transformational power of Jesus in and through our lives. So today, my goal is just to set up our series, to look at the context of Colossians. As this week, I was even able to ask some of our team, say, do you know why Colossians was written? Do you know what it's about? And the answer, including me sometimes, is often, I don't really know, but I've read it before. I understand it a little bit. So it's great to actually just take a beat and see, ask the question, why was this written? Where was it written to and sent to? Who wrote it, and what is the context of it? And then we're going to finish by looking briefly at what the gospel looks in our life through Colossians 1, 3 through 8. And then next week, we're going to continue that on. So what is the context of Colossians? Who is Colossians? And why is there a letter being written and sent there? We see that Colossia was a Roman provincial town in Asia Minor, now known as Turkey. It was 120 miles from Ephesus, where Paul famously preached and planted the church in Ephesus and wrote the book Ephesians. And during his ministry in Ephesus, as he was preaching and teaching, he came across Epaphras. And it's believed that he discipled Epaphras. He taught him to follow the way of Jesus. And then Epaphras went to Colossae, and there he preached the word of God, and he began a small community in Colossae, and he planted the church. Now, Colossae was a pagan town, meaning that there was no faith-based religion. There was a small Jewish contingent, but it wasn't growing. It wasn't a Christian community. And we see that once this community hears about Jesus and decides to follow Jesus, the community begins to blow up. It begins to expand and grow and flourish in a fast pace. And Paul was writing this letter to the church while he was in chains in prison. And he had not yet met these people face to face. But that's why he says that we heard about your faith, and he heard about it through Epaphras. And Paul was writing this letter to this new and passionate congregation for a number of reasons. He wanted to write it to strengthen their faith, to re-emphasize the good news of the gospel, but also to ensure that their doctrine and their beliefs was not compromised by the culture of the world, or also by the religious legalism that had begun to seep into many of the churches, including the church in Galatia, in which we get the book Galatians from. And Paul's goal here was to ensure that the congregation did not sway one of two ways, that they did not sway to the liberal left, where their faith was determined by the cultural opinions of the day, accepting everything and anything as truth, but also that it would not sway toward the conservative right, where it became about religiosity and rules and legalism and limitations, but that the church would remain in the center. And that's where the church is called to be, in the center, in particular, in the center of Christ, that we would be centered in Jesus. And so his heart here was that they would listen and to believe in what he says the true message of the gospel, that they would not believe fake news, which is full of half-truths, mistruths, and taking the truth and getting it to manipulate to the way that you want it to be, nor it to be false news, where it becomes about who, what we do and how good we are. And the truth of that is that no matter what we do, it's never enough, but that we would believe the good news. The good news of the gospel of Jesus, the true message of the gospel. So today, I just want to give you one principle on what the gospel looks like in our lives through this scripture. And then next week, we're going to continue on with three more principles. So here's the first principle. If you want to write this down, if you want to note it, the gospel is alive. That's what we're believing. Here's the very first principle to see the gospel alive in you and in me, in our world, is that the gospel is both heard and seen. The gospel is both heard and seen. So in verse 3, Paul says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. And he says, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. He's saying here, the gospel is heard through our faith in action, but also it is seen through our love for others. Now, many of us know the quote, St. Francis of Assisi, in which he said, preach the gospel at all times, use words when necessary. It's an incredible quote. But I'm sure, like you, I've heard so many people skew and manipulate this quote to mean that I don't need to tell people about Jesus or tell them that I'm a Christian or tell them the beliefs that I have and the truths that I know and that I believe. They'll see that through my life. I just need to live my life and they'll see that. They'll know that. But what's interesting is St. Francis here, he wasn't saying that our words are irrelevant. For he spent his entire life preaching the word of God. And through his words in which he preached, you've seen thousands and thousands of people come to Christ. But what he was doing in this quote is he was bringing our attention to our actions. He was saying that our actions speak louder than words, that what we do matters. James said it like this in chapter 2, verse 17. He says, faith without works is dead. In other words, faith with just words is useless. People will hear and see the gospel through our faith in action, not merely our words. But here's the thing, but also through our words. It is both and. The gospel is seen in action through our works and our words. It is heard and seen. You know, for example, we can't just say, you know, I'm a good person. I do good things for other people. And somehow, if I do good things, maybe one day they'll follow Jesus. In other words, if I walk the old lady across the road, or if I'm good to my neighbors and I'm generous to my coworkers and to my boss and to my community, maybe one day they'll want to give their lives to Jesus and they'll hear the gospel, know the gospel, and believe the gospel. Fortunately, it doesn't work that way. Nor, on the other side, can we say and make the declaration, I'm a Christian. But it's never seen nor shown in action through our generosity, through our work, through our service, seeing our faith in action and our love for others. As Christians, we are to be seen as followers of Jesus where our faith is exercised and shown through every trial and situation in which we go through, no matter how difficult the circumstance, while also saying, I'm a Christian and I follow Jesus. Yeah. We see it's both heard and seen. It's not one or the other. The two combined speak far louder than just words or just works. Mm. You see, the gospel is heard and seen. It is spoken and shown. Yeah. And the original Greek word that Paul uses here for love for others, and in particular for God's people among the church, it is agape, agape love. It is the strongest form of love that a human can experience. It is unconditional love. It is the love that Jesus has called us to show to others, regardless of the situation or of our circumstances. And in particular, we see Paul here, he says to show to God's people. One translation says to show it to the saints, to show it to other Christians, that the world would see the gospel in action through the church. Because if we were to be honest, the world has looked at the church for many decades and many centuries and not seen any love. It's seen division. It's seen judgment between people. It's seen bickering and arguments. But Paul is saying the world will see the gospel through our love for others and for each other. Yeah. It is a love that chooses to forgive, in which Jesus says to forgive even your enemies. It is a love that chooses to serve and to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. It is a love where we express to others through our words, but also through our works. The question I want to leave you with today, I want to ask you, is will you choose to live a life where others can hear and see the gospel alive in you through your faith in action and your unconditional love for others? You know, my heart, my prayer really is that this message and this series would reawaken within you a deep desire and hunger for the word of God. Hey, don't allow bad news to consume you. There's plenty of it to go around, but rather focus on the good news that's found through the gospel of Jesus. Can I encourage you and you to read the book of Colossians? 4 chapters. It doesn't take you long, but read through it again and again. Don't just read through, but read through it slowly. Meditate on the verses. Look beyond the black and white letters to see the meaning behind it. See the context behind it. See why this was said, why it was written, that it would get deep in your heart. I believe as a church, we need to get deep in God's word so that God's word can get deep into us. So that we can have good news within us to share with the world. Because our world is hungry and is thirsty for good news. Maybe you've never experienced the gospel alive in you. Maybe you're unsure of what it is or what it means. In very clear and plain terms, the gospel is this, that for God so loved the world, that he sent his one and only Son, that he may come to earth, be crucified on the cross for our sins, so that we would not have to pay for our sins. But he took our sins, he washed them clean, and through us placing our faith in Jesus Christ, believing that he was resurrected from the dead, that he rose on the third day, ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of our Father, and he sent his Holy Spirit to be with you and with me, through placing our faith in the gospel, but also through confessing our sins with our mouth, repenting, turn away from our sin, turning towards Jesus and accepting him as our Lord and our Savior. Scripture says, then it's by his grace that we are saved. Yeah. What does that mean? It means that when we pass from this earth, this earthly place, when we pass from here, we will go to be in heaven for eternity in the presence of Jesus forevermore. That, if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. That should give you a confident hope that produces faith and love within you. I want to give you the opportunity right now. If you've never allowed Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, I want to pray a very simple and short prayer with you. And I'm going to ask you just to repeat these words after me. Maybe just close your eyes or speak this or whisper this under your breath and just say these words with me. And say, Jesus, I'm drawing close to you. I acknowledge that you're my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life. Lead my life. Forgive me. Heal me. And help me to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, we'd love to connect with you and hear your story and help you on your next step. And what I'd love you to do is just go to openarms.ie/connect. And on that, you'll see a very simple and short form. And on it, just tick that box as you give your details. Say, I'm committing my life to Jesus. And we're going to have next steps this Wednesday evening. And we'd love to see you. We'd love to hear your story and just help you on this journey. But I just want to pray for you today as we finish and we get ready to enter into one final song of worship. What I pray that this word that we've received and heard today, I pray that we'll get deep into our spirits. I pray that we would be a people who know the truth that's found in the good news. I pray that we would get into your scripture, get into your word, and allow your word to get into us, that we'll be founded and strengthened on a strong foundation. In Jesus' name, amen.